Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You're 35 years old, Mr. Vale. Why are you such a derelict? Such a piece of human junk? The answer's simple. You're a scanner.
No one is to leave this room once the demonstration has begun.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 513. Oh, yeah. We're mining the very... I already said that. Hey, I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. He's not only a scanner, but a printer and a fax machine as well, Dunaway.
Oh, clever. I almost went with that in my intro. Oh, hi. Wow, I can't believe they're paying us to just file into this room and not talk for an indeterminate amount of time. I wonder if we have assigned seats. Probably not. It doesn't seem like that kind of place. Ugh, I don't like the looks of this lady in front of me. She looks like a talker. Oh, what's going on over there? A guy tied up to a hospital bed? Hey, is that Henry Winkler? No? Howard Hessman? I don't know. All these white guys look the same to me. No, wait. It's that guy from the food court at the saddest mall in Canada with those escalators that go nowhere. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that is the guy. Also, like a 90% positive, I saw him steal some of my fries when I went to get napkins. That bastard. Good. They got him strapped to a bed. Serves him right. Steal my fries. I wonder if I can get a punch as we walk by. Okay. Well, I guess we're sitting here then. I'll punch you later, fry guy. Oh, man. He's really squirming around up there. Probably has the poops from all that stolen food. Speaking of poops, I really should have taken care of some butt business before agreeing to sit with total strangers for an indeterminate amount of time. Oh, man, I got to do something to take my mind off this explosive pain in my posterior. Wow, it's really getting quiet in here. I can hear all the bodily processes. Oh, geez, lady. That gum you're chewing is going to heaven because you sure are chewing the hell out of it. Okay. I don't know if I can handle this. Oh, I know. Maybe I'll concentrate really hard. If I can maybe just concentrate really hard and I can then just blow this lady's head up with my thoughts. And then we can all leave and I'll get paid and go take that poop. Uh-oh. I think they heard that. Oh, yeah. They totally heard that. Even poor man Senior Winkler stopped writhing about. And now I'm being escorted out. Hey, but we're going by the fry thief. Shit, missed. Avenge me, Randy!
Oh, my lord. Yeah, they do. There's no way they didn't all poop their pants.
Who agrees for any amount of money to go sit in a room...
Nobody.
And stare at somebody in a medical bed.
Nobody.
As they writhe about.
No one.
Just go in there and think things. Just go in there. No, yeah. Don't talk. Just go and think
just,
things.
Yeah.
Think
just let things. Your brain go. Wow, that was a long scene. Also with us, Randy. He's hanging out in your brain right now, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott, Brian, and everyone else. No one is to leave this room. Thank you all for coming to the meeting of Scanners Anonymous. we put the cope in psychopath. You all know Martin Mull here. Thank you for joining us, Martin Mull. I know everyone around me looks like the band Boston from 1978, but if you haven't figured out why we all look alike by this point, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you should just talk to Dr. Ruth. I'm going to need everyone to submit to this syringe full of a drug called Encalmyol. You might have heard the jingle, Encalmyol, Encalmyol, Encalmyol. Okay, so here we go. Just me and Jester. My thoughts to Jester's thoughts. My mind. Oh, that hurts. Ow, 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 ow. Hurts really bad. Okay, so we're fighting with our minds, huh? Okay, I'm going to fight back. Oh, man. Oh, I think I might have just sharted. But just a little. It's okay. We're Canadian, so it'll only go through two of my four pair of undies, which we call underway up here. Ow, ow, ouch. Stop it. I'm gonna explode your freaking head if you don't stop. Wait. I'm just sitting on the syringe.
Oh, my God.
Oh, sorry, Jester. That was dumb. Ouch. I can't believe you pooped my pants for this.
Hold on a minute. Do you guys really call them under? They call them underways up there? Tell me that's not a thing.
That's not real. A thing.
Okay. I feel better. Seriously, I was going to throw up. All right. Also, with us, Brian, that's not Dr. Ruth Ibbett.
Yeehaw, Jester's dead. Hello, I hope you've been enjoying your weekend here so far at the TED Conference. I know some of you were disappointed in the previous session on the docket called Silently Enter a Room and Think Towards a Dude Strapped to a Hospital Gurney, put on by Mr. Dunaway. But I'm hoping that you enjoy my session a little bit more because, you see, before we're done, I'm going to scan everyone in the room. Yes, I'm a scanner. Well, not full-time. I'm actually a manager of a Kinko's over by the mall. So in addition to being a scanner, I'm also a printer and I send faxes. Yes, I'm using that joke too. Whatever, get over it.
Love it.
I'm kind of an all-in-one. Anyway, I'm going to be scanning someone in this room, which is to say I'm going to be making the O face while I pry into your mind. But I do need to tell you that it can sometimes be a painful experience. You can sometimes experience nausea, earaches, headaches, dizziness, drowsiness, explosive and sudden diarrhea, dry mouth, hives, shingles, Skittles, Twizzlers, Snickers, and large and painful acne. Anyway, can I have a volunteer? Who's ready to have their mind blown?
Nice. I almost went with that. I'm glad I didn't. Yeah. I love the fact that all your stuff is like that.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
It was really good.
I swear to God, we do not coordinate these.
No,
we don't, but it was...
How could you not go there with this film, though?
Yeah, it's exactly.
True. No, this is absolutely true. You cannot watch this movie and not imagine people shitting their pants at the end. At least five times.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Especially
everybody looks like they're taking a crap. That's just... Yeah.
For those at home, if you're
having the weirdest, most uncomfortable orgasm ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially
that
Michael
one guy.
Ironside.
Yeah. Michael Ironside's, I don't want to have one of his orgasms.
Michael Ironside's O face.
It's really something.
Oh, is it too late for me to change my Twitter post?
Yeah. Nope. There's time.
Plenty of time.
Scanners is the movie. And okay. So another one of these things that was notorious in my youth. It was like a film I never saw. So it was first time, but I knew enough things about it to know that it was forbidden fruit for my parents. There's no way we were ever going to have this movie in the house ever. When I'd go to Blockbuster or whatever came before, I would walk through those places and I would see the horror section and I would see that cover of that. Yeah. I guess Ironside's with his white eyes, basically spoiling the movie right there. Cause it turns out that's the final scene, but anyway, him all like tensed up and bubbling out and everything. And in my head, you know, this was one of those scary, untouchable movies that I never saw. So it took on this new life of its own. It wasn't really just a movie anymore. And also in my head, I had it that everybody, this is all the movie was just people blowing up other people's heads. And really that only happens like once or twice if you count the, you know, the eyeball thing at the end of the
You should count that.
I'll count that. But I thought it was like the whole movie was people's heads popping like the dude at the desk.
Yeah.
Right.
And I even saw this movie and I, before watching it again last night, I thought, oh yeah, it's going to be just a ton of people's heads blowing up. And it's like, oh no, it's really just the one head blowing up. And then, yeah, like you said, the eye socket,
By the way, if you haven't watched this movie, you should watch it and continue listening to us. But if you haven't watched this movie and you are extremely online, you have seen this guy's head popping.
Oh,
you
have
seen it.
Yeah,
if you're extremely online.
Yeah. And hold on. Here's the other part of this that's really odd for me. And it's just in my own head. If anyone else can relate to this, write in and let me know. But this guy whose head explodes, I had only ever seen that in GIF form on the internet before.
Yep.
And I thought that was a real death of somebody. Somebody was doing faces of death trickery on the internet and saying, let's freak everybody out with an actual, this is an actual shooting or this is a whatever.
Listen, even Faces of Death wasn't real Faces of Death.
Definitely was not as good as this.
Yeah.
And they're bringing it back, by the way. I don't know if you've heard, but Faces of Death is...
I heard there's some kind of comeback.
Right. Is on the reboot.
Thank God, right?
Why are they doing that for Gen Xers? Are we asking for it? I guess we are. I don't know. But
nobody asked for it.
Nobody asked for it. But that guts and blood thing of that guy's head blown up is legitimately good. Like, it's really well done. To the point that if you told me this is somebody who was shot while filming or had a bomb strapped to his neck because he was trying to make a point during a live broadcast, I would probably believe you if I didn't know better. Right. It's that gruesome.
Like, and it's really well documented done. Because they had some experiments with this and they ended up with this. You can totally read about
it. Yeah, all and I frame by framed it, dude. And it's beautiful. Like... Frame by frame, it is legitimately real looking, and he said
that's Cronenberg's to the top.
Yeah. It's totally Cronenberg. Sure. Yeah.
Well, it's the other guy, the guy who did all of Dick these Smith. Special effects.
Oh yeah.
Dick Smith, they, right?
They're tied.
Dick
hand
Smith.
To hand.
Dick Smith. Yeah, Dick Smith. This yeah. Dwayne. They're, is that right? Hold on. Yes, Dick Smith is his Smith? Name.
He's a real Dick Smith.
He's a real, he's Dick, real Smith. Dick Smith. We've talked about him before.
Their conscience is tied together, him and Cronenberg. They're
sorry. Is being a Dick Smith like being a coxman?
Yes, yeah. It's a coxman. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a modern day coxman. All right.
Okay. All right. That's
funny. The effect of the exploding head, it says in the trivia scene, was accomplished by filling a latex head of the actor with dog food, leftover lunch, fake blood, and rabbit livers, and then shooting it from behind with a 12-gauge shotgun.
So if I've learned anything, our heads are filled with rabbit livers. I didn't know that. Yeah. Now I know.
Hamburgers.
Now it's like, I kind of feel bad for that actor because he's replicated by a latex sack filled with dog food and liver.
Right.
It really looked like him. Like, they made sure that the hands that you can see look very realistic.
Yeah.
Like, I had a hard time initially figuring out how they did it.
It's freaky.
It's good.
It's freaky good for a movie of 1980. What, 81 is this? Did we figure out what this is?
1981.
Correct.
Impressive. And at the time, critics mostly didn't like the movie, but loved the effects. People are like,
whoa. We really hadn't, at this point, we were still kind of getting into our 80s groove of accepting this kind of gore to be a piece of art somewhat.
Yeah.
I mean, some people still consider it not that, but... movie critics were still having trouble reconciling how this grotesque, pornography of body porn could be something acceptable.
Right. And it's something I appreciate now, but would have really hated. I would have been 10 or something or 11. I would have hated this.
Film that would totally scar you for life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't want to see this when I'm a kid. And no kid should see it even today. And it's also that weird 70s thing that we always talk about, that weird, discordant, like, nobody's looking right. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, that one with the rock chasing the SUV across the desert. Like, it's just a weird thing. And the music, it's not really music. It's just like...
The music is not music. It's the saxophone is sitting on a organ is what it is. I don't know what's going on there, but it's definitely discordant.
Like a weird Logan's Run space sounds on a piano just kind of played non-melodically but randomly.
Right. Yep. We were really experimenting with sound during the 70s. I have a couple of albums like that. We've experimented with sound a lot, but during the 70s, being discordant was like one of the hallmarks of that.
Well, and sure. It's not just body horror movies or like TV shows like Starsky and Hutch. It's like everything. Like, we watched Dirty Harry for Film Sack, and it had a lot of the same look and feel.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, and
that's just a regular action movie.
You're right. It was definitely a thing of the time, and I don't know. I feel like there's stuff today that lifts from it a little. Like, I saw Annihilation again because I really like that movie.
That is such a good movie. I love
that. And it's
got
an amazing soundtrack, but part of what makes that soundtrack good is it's got a lot of this weird, ethereal sort of quality to it. And I think they evoke a lot of the same things. It's just matured. It's just better than it used to be. And, you know, certainly it's more,
I don't know. We figured it out. I mean, a lot of, some of the things that were going on here in this one is some of these instruments they were using were kind of, you know, I don't know if anybody was really well versed in some of these instruments at this point or not in this medium anyway. Right. Who was making the music? Because I mean, Carpenter during this time, you know, it wasn't uncommon for him to, you know, do his own little tunes.
He almost always did
little jingles.
Yeah. And that's the thing. We're also talking about a time when just anybody with a musical inclination could suddenly get their hands on instruments and recording devices, right? And like, you know, an electronic keyboard went from being something that was part of a huge console to being something that you could just go buy and put in your house.
Exactly.
And, you could fiddle with, right? And so like a lot of filmmakers were also fiddling with music. And they found they liked the outcome. They felt more like, you know, maybe do a little drugs, put your hand on a Casio. You know what I mean?
Drugs were involved in the making of this film.
It's the 70s. Really I think drugs were involved in making everything in the 70s.
Sure.
Including drugs.
But including drugs.
Let me blow your mind a little, though, because this is the great Howard Shore doing the score back then. This had to have been an early one for him.
I'll bet Howard Shore was 20 years old doing this music.
Probably just getting started. Because these days, I'm clicking on him, and for some reason IMDb is dragging its feet. But I want to see what... Okay, there we go. He's known for, of course, you know, Lord of the Rings. Who can forget? The Aviator, The Hobbit, Eclipse, all that shit. Tons of movies. Like, that dude's legit. let's see what he started.
I love how... Scott said all that shit, you know, taking that high art form of what evolved, you know, I'm talking about.
Shit he did.
So how do we feel about Howard Hughes played by Leo DiCaprio? I'm curious.
Well, hold on. I got to find the first thing he did here. 90. Okay. Howard Shore, composer. Here we go. Drop Dead, The Brood, Scanners. Third film, The Brood before that. So he'd worked with Cronenberg before, and then Drop Dead Dearest. I don't know who made that. But The Brood was another thing. And then he was in like Videodrome after that.
Now that's the one we need to watch for Film Sec, right? That's the holy Cronenberg holy grail, right?
I think so.
Hold on. Have we not? Oh, the Debbie Harry thing. Yeah.
Debbie Harry. Yeah. It was Blondie and
James Woods, was it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. He was the guy that was kind of connected to her.
there it is
VR.
Probably at some point that thing should get done, but like mainstream didn't really happen for him. This is the closest it had gotten to mainstream, I think, until the fly was really his big push him over the edge, sort of mainstream, even though I don't know, it's still horror and gross and very rated
R. Everybody wanted. I remember the buzz around it.
I see what you did with the buzz. That's
I remember
good.
The buzz around the fly, and I remember it was just everybody wanted to see it. Matter of fact, I went back and watched the original Fly about that time because I remember the advertisements were just.
You mean the original? Intriguing. The Help Me, that one.
Yeah, the Help Me. Yeah,
the black and white.
Vincent Price.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
We did that here. Here on the show, I believe.
Yes, back to back. I think we watched the two flies. Yeah.
I have Brian Dunaway doing that impression.
Help me.
No. Yeah, that's from that, but I don't have the
actual. That's how he says it.
But anyway, so
we did not watch the flies back to back. I just
what really?
Yeah, no, they were exactly 3 months apart. And the funny thing is, Scott titled them the one about the fly and then the one about the newer fly. Which is great. Those are great titles. Hey,
that's funny. I could have sworn that we did those back to back. But you know, if there's anything we've learned on this show, we can't trust our memories.
I don't remember
doing the fly. So there's that. There's a piece.
Hey, you try to do how many episodes? 4 and 7.
Even counting that high.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. We're at 513 of these. It's a lot of movies. I don't even want to get into the math of how much just the movies took to watch, how many hours we're into this now.
Right.
Like if there's, let's say it's an average of what, 2 hours probably per film? That's got to be about right. Right?
Yeah.
So let's just do the math here. 513 times 2. That's 1,226 hours of just film watching.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's crazy. Yeah. If this is your first time listening, go ahead. Yeah.
Well, not to mention some of us occasionally watch a movie twice. I watched Space Truckers twice. Randy, I know, used to at least watch movies twice on the regular.
Right. Why did you watch Space Truckers twice? I don't remember what happened with that. What did we talk about?
Oh, because I didn't feel like my intro was complete enough, and I wanted to get some more stuff for it.
You are a journeyman. Look at you with the
darn right. Commitment. I do it all. I put it all out there for the people.
That's amazing.
Love it.
Well, I watched.
Hey,
it
did you know Scanners is part of a was it like a sequels? How many? Like three?
What?
Is
what?
But no. Yeah, I found myself looking it up on Wikipedia to start, and I had a hard time finding the first one. It was like Wikipedia wanted me to read about part two, part three, part four.
I can't find these. Where are these?
In this subject, I think the other two were straight to me.
Yeah, Scanners, The New Order. And Scanners 3, The Cure.
But I gotta I didn't watch Scanners. I watched it back in the day, but only like bits and pieces. I never sat down. I was not mature enough to be able to make myself sit in a room quietly and watch Scanners all the way through. But since I have now, I'm like, man, this would be such a great series because this has got all the hallmarks of, you know, this longer form storytelling of these factions of people who are, you know, emerging with these new skills and talents. It totally is set up for that.
I don't know if I'm yet mature enough for this movie.
I've said mature enough to sit down and watch all
the movie. All right. I just like so many times in this movie, I was trying to take it seriously and I would just find myself giggle farting at whatever crazy thing we saw on the screen.
Like, and our protagonist is the freaking worst. He sucks.
Sucks. Oh, his eyes, the look on that guy's face. Wow.
I mean, are you talking about Stephen Lack or Cameron Vail?
Cameron Vail,
he's just bad, just real bad.
Is he bad, or is he perfect for this role?
I think it's pretty.
He has to be a blank slate, though, right? Because he has to come into this thing. You have to believe that he's basically been kept in a lab in a cryogenic chamber until he was kind of dumped into some hobo clothes and dropped into the
You read it like I read it. I don't. He said he had him on ice. I don't think he literally meant cryogenically. I couldn't figure it out.
The first thing he's given to do as an adult in his entire life is to infiltrate a society of people who can read minds. Like, how's that gonna go?
Right.
He's just when we get to clips, you'll see what I mean about how blankly bad that actor is.
But he is very bland, but I'm thinking that's to a credit for this kind of character.
Guess it worked for this movie, but boy, howdy, did his career just not go anywhere.
Well, that's okay because he's an artist. He does his own little thing there. I don't know if you've seen his artwork, but you know, he's found another way to express himself artistically.
I'm really glad to hear that, actually. That's great. I'm glad his eyes were repaired after turning to jelly or whatever happened.
Right. I don't know how he's making art now with his eyes just being exploded out like that, but whatever.
Was he inspired art-wise by some of the sculptures we saw in Scanners?
There's a thing going on in Scanners that kind of intrigued me that I wanted to dig in deeper. They never passed up an opportunity to have a piece of artwork that was head related. And they even have one scene where they're sitting inside of a head.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
lots of head.
Yeah. I'm like, and just there's a good bit of art to this movie. I don't want to build it up too big, but it's
better. I'll tell you what, overall, like the overall structure of this is pretty competent. It's not bad. Right. It's pretty good. It follows a plot I can follow. I kind of know what's going on. There's little bits of it that sort of suck. It's mostly actor related, but for the most part, it's like, oh, this is interesting. It's going places. And I'll say I thought Michael Ironside was actually pretty good. And they only paid him $5,300 for his role.
Is there anybody that you would believe that could read your mind and be a scanner more than Michael Ironside? I mean, he just has that look. He's
He was all right. I want to real quick. I want to just read the Scanners 3, the takeover tagline. Okay. You guys will enjoy this. A young female scanner turns from a sweet young thing into a murderous, powerful, crazed villain. That's a weird way of saying that. After she takes an experimental drug developed by her father, her brother, who is also a scanner, is the only one powerful enough to stop her. A sweet young thing. What is this? This sweet sounds terrible. Young
thing. Yeah.
I was imagining those as t-shirts. Her t-shirt right. says sweet young thing. It says also a scanner.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure well, this
Scott
is just
didn't even
utter
mention
garbage.
The spinoff such as Scanner Cop. What?
Yeah.
And
what?
Scanners the Showdown, or also known as Scanner Cop 2.
What? That's not related, is it? Or is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Really? It's like a spinoff? Are you kidding me?
And there was a television series. I don't remember this. I think I do remember this. It was a television series.
I don't remember any of this.
None of this. I have no recollection of that. That's crazy.
Okay, so it never actually happened. They were trying to do it during the film with the film reboot. Okay, so they were trying to do a reboot and a television series, and it just didn't happen.
Well, the scan
is a shame because I think there's enough world building in this that I would like to see more.
Well, the problem
I don't argue with that, right? I think that there is some cool world building they could do, and like we said earlier, right? Like a really good two factions, good scanners and bad scanners, sci-fi, Syfy channel,
Syfy, right?
Kind of thing, but
yeah. It is a little bit like, hey, Jean Grey powers, but for evil. I mean, that's basically what this is. And
but
it has potential, but I'm not so sure in a post-MCU world, in a post, you know, we've gotten much further cinematically with these concepts. I don't think scanners is a thing you'd reboot now. I don't think it works.
Well, I don't know if you go to the theater with this, but I don't think scanners ever should have been in the theater to begin with. I think this is made for TV / made straight to video to me is that kind of stuff.
So there's a cool little story here. The reason scanners like looks and feels better than it deserves to is because at this time, this is late in the Pierre Trudeau government, which was like 16 years long from the late 60s to the early 80s with like a 6 month break in the middle of it. They had an opposition leader for 6 months in the middle of this long time that Pierre Trudeau was overseeing a lot of like changes in Canada. Canada was making a lot of progress. Like this is basically when they solidified their healthcare and all this other stuff. So in the late 70s, early 80s, they signed this act into law to try to get more entertainment made entirely in Canada. They felt like Canadian culture needed its own storytellers in Canada because they were slowly becoming so Americanized. And so they literally put a bunch of money behind making movies. And so there was this brief time when there was this gold rush by Canadian filmmakers to get that money, and they had to use it. They had to spend it before a deadline. And this is one of the movies that was made under those conditions. And then the deadline happens, and it's like, oh, so now you don't have that anymore. You were supposed to make something great and then learn how to sort of fund yourself, you know? And it's like, you can't. Like, this kind of movie is supposed to be cheap, you know? It's supposed to be direct-to-video, you know?
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that. I just think it's a bit of a bummer in the end that the best actor in the entire thing is the guy whose head exploded.
Chunky Tobias is my favorite.
I'm not even saying like, I mean like his dialogue before the brain fight. He's legitimately like, he actually sold all that for me. And I knew what was coming because I recognized him immediately. I'm like, oh shit, that's the guy that blows
up.
That's
the guy.
But he's
Jennifer O'Neill I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I love Jennifer O'Neill. She brought something to the film that was missing, which is intelligence. Mm-hmm. She actually had an intelligence, because everybody else seemed to be a little bit maniacal, especially Dr. Ruth, Patrick McGoohan.
McGoohan.
Every time I say, he made me laugh because I don't know at what part he's like, I feel like this doctor likes to really scooch down in his seat, because every time you seen him, he was like scooched down.
I guess the second time you see him, right? The first time is at his TED talk with the guy on a gurney. Right. But the second time you see him, he's in this conference room and everybody's like sitting up and they're like really interested in what, you know, the drug is and what we're going to be doing here. And he looks like he's asleep. And I was going to take a screenshot of that and say, this is me during this film.
he looks like he's in a gamer chair. Like he's been playing WoW for 14 hours.
Yeah, and
he's
one of those racer chairs for sure.
Oh, but he made me laugh.
We saw him in The Phantom. He was the Phantom's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he was the dad Phantom's dad.
Oh, wow.
Did the Phantom even need a dad? So he was actually the old Phantom, if you go by the story.
Oh, right,
because,
right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
He was passing the mantle on to his son. And
right.
Original Phantom.
The world needed a new
original,
Phantom.
Would you like original Phantom or
Pineapple Phantom?
Pineapple Phantom.
did any of you agree with me that he looks and talks exactly like Martin Mull throughout this movie?
A little bit. Yeah, I got that vibe. When you started saying Martin Mull, I went, oh, that's who he reminded me of.
Yeah.
Total Martin Mull lookalike dude. But he's been in tons of stuff, old westerns.
He was in the Warriors. He was his own gang, but he was uncredited. Oh, really? I'm sorry, he was uncredited. That was the wrong there, Warriors.
He was in Braveheart.
Oh, he didn't get to come out and play Yay.
Yeah, he was in Escape from Alcatraz movie. I love Braveheart. He was in newer stuff, older stuff, all over the place. That dude worked for a long, long time. Died not terribly long ago, 2009, at the age of 80. 10 years now,
and he was the biggest victim of what Randy was talking about, which is where this gold rush to make Canadian films kind of forced these guys to write the film as they filmed it, and so some of these ideas and some of the dialogue they gave Patrick McGoonan, I just don't want to say his last name, I can't do it, Dr. Ruth. His lines, like one part of it, he's like going through this whole thing where he's like having a fight with himself. And I'm like, wait, is he a scanner? What is he doing right now? He's going to be involved with the computer. He's talking crazy talk. I don't even know what he was doing in that whole scene. Mm. You know what I'm talking about? Where he just right before he gets shot.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Internal dialogue, which you should just
externally.
Never.
Externally.
Oh,
right. Internal dialogue, we don't need it.
The only place that works, and even then I would make the argument that you still should get rid of it, is some anime uses it a lot. In fact, anime loves using internal dialogue. I hate it. I don't want to hear echoey self-talk. Enough, Hollywood.
Right. Especially when you could just have them talk to anyone. You could have a character talk to a dog, and I'm better off than if they're talking in their own head.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. It was such a break from everything that had been happening so far because no one was really talking in their head. We had a lot of moments where people were, doing like a poop show, like looking like about to poop, but they weren't really thinking anything. No. Other than the audience was going, what's going to happen now? Somebody's head's going to explode?
Right.
Maybe.
Right. There's a problem here, and I don't know if it's a world-building thing or if they could fix this or the other movies do anything better with it, but, you know, they don't really get into what you're actually doing there. Are you just you're just focusing on that person, and they get a headache, and it's some of them are capable of taking it way further. And like
That would be a really interesting – I would be concerned if I was looking at a script. Obviously, they didn't have a script. But if I was looking at a spec, I would look and go, I'm supposed to what now? I'm going to have to sit here and look like I'm concentrating. I don't want to be involved with this.
Well, they also
that sounds hard.
They also do a lot of obviously there's other stuff going on. And this is the part it bums me out that it feels like you're just letting it be whatever you want it to be, especially at the end. But I guess it can start fires. I guess it can also.
Yes, I actually I like the fact that they implied that there were different, levels of abilities and that people had certain skills. First time I saw Jennifer O'Neill actually, caught people on fire. I'm like, oh, how does that work? Because, I mean, are we talking about a true psychic or are we talking about somebody who can manipulate?
Well, that's telekinesis.
Whatever the fire starter power, Stephen King's fire starter power was.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you say that was the line that you didn't need them to cross? The whole going from telekinesis to
fire?
Right.
Yeah, I don't like the whole let's create a whole bunch of new powers as we need them.
Yeah.
For me, that was fine. I couldn't stand it when they became modems. When you become a modem, I'm out.
But Randy, a computer has a nervous system just like a human.
That's it. That was the weirdest thing.
No, it doesn't. That's the point.
Weirdest leap of faith, hand waving explanation.
God, I hope Scott captured this guy saying, we have these computers connected to the telephone system.
Yeah.
1981. Wow.
Yeah.
Everything about that. The whole finale reveal hinges on a thing that they never even alluded to, like to give us any sort of foreshadowing. Like, by the way, it's reported that some scanners even have the ability to transfer their consciousness into another person. And if they would have said that, then the ending reveal would have felt like, there's a new power that he all of a sudden decided he had.
Right. When Michael Ironside turns around and goes, hey.
When a completely different actor does ADR work for Michael Ironside for the first time in the film.
A lot of ADR work in this film. It was so
just
weird.
It seemed like it was all Ironsides. Like, I don't know if he just doesn't do well with boom mics.
That's funny because I thought it was mostly the Cameron Vale guy. And my
Okay.
My sense from him was that it may not even be him. Like, they replaced him with somebody else. But
now Michael Ironside, if you've seen him in other films, you'll know he is kind of like, it's kind of talks down here.
Yeah, he's
like,
almost a lot.
That's kind of his whole stick. So I think they did maybe go back
because he's Sam Fisher.
And how is it possible that on our most sack list, Michael Ironside isn't number one? He needs to be.
Yeah.
Between Top Gun.
I like that you call him Ironside.
Yes. I have such a role reversal right now because usually Ibbit whines
is
about
it Ironside?
My pronunciation of things. Michael, so think of Michael as having a half and half. He has an iron side and a human side.
and a meat side.
Now, he's just so memorable in everything he's in, but he's not in as much as I think we attribute him to being.
Total Recall, Starship Troopers.
I mean, it's Top a lot, Gun. But you don't just see him. He's in very iconic films, but you don't see him just showing
Adventures
up all
the
over
Forbidden
the place.
Zone in 3D.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. You totally don't forget it. I mean, when you see Michael Ironside, you know there he is.
Yep.
You kind of also know, this isn't going to be a very good movie.
Yes, you do.
Not always.
If he read the script and agreed to it.
Not always. Interested.
Yeah. Has he ever been in like a...
Total Recall is awesome. That's a good...
Total Recall is awesome. It's not a great movie, but it's a great movie, right?
Memorable. It's an influential movie.
Movies. I'm seeing some good movies of this list. The Perfect Storm, he was good in that. The Machinist was a good movie. I mean, we could debate again Terminator Salvation, but he's really good in it. Like his part of Terminator Salvation is really good.
Yeah,
that's actually
he was in one of the better X-Men movies, X-Men First Class.
Right. Yes, I
he's
agree.
Also very good in the recent Nobody's, the Bob Odenkirk goes John Wick kind of movie. He's great in that. He's not in it very long, but he's great in it. I think
he pops into the TV show Justified for a hot minute. And
episode.
It's like the most beautiful mix of Canadian and American, acting and storytelling. Like
he is Canadian, right? A Canadian dude.
Correct.
Very much.
Okay.
In fact, part of the thing we're talking about is that he sort of lived in Toronto and sort of stayed there for a lot of his career. So he wasn't, in Hollywood, like fighting for the best roles.
Mm. Oh, he was Colonel, another X-Men thing. There was that cartoon series Wolverine and the X-Men, and he was Colonel Moss in that. I guess it's the same character. I don't know.
Actually. The kids version of the X-Men.
Yeah, I think that's what that was. He's just,
I guess he was on ER for a while too. Huh?
When I see him, I go, oh, cool. This guy's in this. And I get excited. Hey, I love the Sam Fisher games. They're amazing games. He does great game work voice.
He's such a weird thing because I'm the same way. It's like, I love Michael Ironside. And I'm like, but why? I don't know. Right. I just like it when he's here. And it's always like a party.
Yeah. Let me clarify my original comment because, and all right, he's done some good movies, whatever. But when you see Michael Ironside in a film, you say to yourself, all right, this isn't going to be a good movie, but this is going to be a movie I'm going to enjoy.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
He's the party. Michael Ironside, the party.
You nailed it. It's like that dude who was selling Nuke in the second RoboCop movie. I forget that dude's name, but that creepy rubber-faced guy. I can't think of his name. Anyway. Same deal. You're never going to see a movie where you're like, now this is Oscar worthy. But what you're going to do is have a good time in a B movie. Right. And
we're about to have some fun. Michael Ironside just showed up.
Yeah, he's from, by the way, born Frederick Reginald Ironside. So the Michael part is what he flipped,
he's really Ironside. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Tom Noonan, by the way, is who you're talking about.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, Tom Noonan. freaking last action.
I would not have been able to. How come Michael Ironside wasn't in RoboCop 2? That feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
He wasn't? Wait, is that really?
He wasn't in
I could have swore
of
he was.
No.
He wasn't the heavy?
No.
He wasn't in any RoboCop movies, and I don't know how that's possible.
You're thinking that's in that so first weird movie, you're thinking of what's his name from that 70s show, because they're very similar at that age.
Oh, Red?
Yeah,
is
Red.
It that?
Yeah.
Oh,
Red.
I can see that. I didn't realize that they were so closely related to my brain, but I guess they are. I always think the same thing when I see him. I'm like, we're fisting to have fun.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Same thing. You see that guy, no matter what he's in. And again, it's not a ton, but when you do, you go, okay, here we go. Let's get this on.
Oh, it's this kind of movie.
I love those actors. Like some of my favorite film sack moments are filled with names like that. And Michael Ironside is one of them.
Start off hour two of Michael Ironside talk. For me, he is Jester. It's because I've seen Top Gun so many times.
It's
not even a big role. Like, he probably has five lines in the whole movie, but boy, does he nail them. He's perfect.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, if I had to pick a single thing that's most memorable for me, it's probably either Total Recall or Starship Troopers or something about that character I really like.
Yeah, I can't forget about that.
But he's mostly, for me, his voice is just Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell. I loved those games and can't wait for a new one. And apparently he's involved in it. If the rumors are true. But anyway, that voice is just the voice of the coolest spy in the history of like hidden government spy business. It's so good. And they had one game where they didn't use him and it suffered for it. So bring him back. I don't care how old he is or fat, because I just saw him in Nobody's big fat guy now. But bring him back and let's get it going. We don't have him forever is what I'm saying. Michael Ironside isn't here forever, okay?
No, he's a Canadian national treasure that we've borrowed for quite a few things.
That's right. Thanks, Toronto. You're the best. Sometimes you're the worst, but right now you're the best.
That's right. We'll forgive you for that whole Justin Bieber thing.
Yeah, exactly. I just didn't think it was as cheesy as I thought it was going to be. Outside of some bad acting and stuff, the movie was all right. Like,
when you boil it down, though, the plot is kind of, it would fit on a Post-it note.
Yeah,
but that's the best kind of films, right?
No.
Yes. I mean, you could easily fit the Terminator on a, you know, a Post-it note.
Now that's an interesting point, because this year's winner of last year's films, Nomadland, is a movie where you could put the plot on a Post-it stamp. But it's all about execution of the concepts and ideas. So if, you know, I would actually say that something like Total Recall or Terminator or any of those are more advanced scripts, because you have to jump through a bunch of hoops and a bunch of hand wave and a bunch of other stuff and deal with tech and all that. Whereas Nomadland, it's like, okay, what's the concept? Traveling around like a nomad in the desert after you lost your house, now you're in a van. Okay, well, now what do you do with that? Like, in some ways, that's a bigger challenge than the other. And so I'm
surprised if you haven't seen it, spoiler alert.
I don't know. It's not really a spoiler, though. Is it?
I want to defend the script for Nomadland just a little bit, because yes. Nomadland is absolutely a coffee table book of a movie. Yeah. That is the point. There's a lot of movies out there like that, where you're supposed to get from one amazing scene to look at to another.
Right.
But there is, I don't get how you go and get people who are not trained professional actors that live a lifestyle you're trying to showcase and get them to deliver their lines as well as this movie.
No, it's incredible. By the way, none of this I mean as a negative. It rightfully won the award last year. I think it's an amazing film and I loved it. But my point is, like, you know, that's a director taking a very small idea and blowing it up into a much bigger execution. Whereas something like this is kind of a small idea and a small execution, and it's okay. It's fine. You know, blowing heads up.
Right. I'll tell you, the problem I had, I think they could have improved this movie like 100-fold by, I don't know, anytime there was like these, like the mall scenes, I'm getting to it. The mall scenes and stuff that were terrible. I'm like, that doesn't even look like a mall. It doesn't even, you're barely convincing me they're in a mall. Barely.
It definitely looked like a mall. Like, it looked like the saddest food court.
It did, but it like a set.
You're calling it a mall because I think it's a train station.
Really? It definitely felt like more like it was just a set somewhere. It did not feel like I was actually in a mall.
Actually, but now that Randy says train station, I think I buy it more. Like, there's something
right now they said train station. I believe it because it looks like a train station.
Yeah. But it also, so there's this mall downtown. It's not there anymore. They tore it down and now it's a big outside fancy pants mall with too many stores I don't like. But anyway, but when it was a real mall, it was a mall, man. You go in there and you had Suncoast Video and Software, etc., and all the cool shit. And it was floors. So it was like just like this, where escalators took you to floors, and it was like four floors total. I forgot what it was called. Anyway, the bottom floor is where they relegated all the food courty stuff to. Yeah. And that's what this felt like. So I actually was having a bit of like, that's the mall I used to hang out in high school.
But okay, so this movie, you cannot divorce groups of teenagers roaming in a mall. There's this, you can't divorce those two. If you don't have roaming teenagers in groups, it's not a mall.
It's not a mall.
It's not a mall.
I think it's a mall that they, for filming purposes, had to use at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And so they could control everything. And that just happens to be the only time you can actually guarantee a teenager is going to be asleep.
I really enjoy trying to make out the difference on the Toronto food court restaurants. Yeah. I was fascinated.
Oh, yeah.
What were those corn dogs that were on there?
Yeah, Pogo.
Pogo yes.
Corn dogs. Never yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Over here, what now, was
it? Pogo's hot dog on the name, or is that some kind of nickname that Canadians give their corn dogs? Because I would totally call them Pogos.
Pogo. That's interesting. I don't know. Randy, do you know? You got some Canadian.
I had no idea. I was trying to make out every one of them because none of them fit for my experience, which is, 30 years later. After
but I was going to say that this was early 80s mall life in Canada. So that would be a lot different.
I should tell you guys, I got in trouble once for a hot dog on a stick joke. I was in junior high or high school? High school, I guess. Early years of high school. And I drew a comic that was going to be in the school paper. It was like there was a whole story about students and that work jobs and go to school. So they work jobs at night and go to school the next day and how you can manage that or whatever. They wanted a cartoon to go with it. So I drew some hot dog on a stick employees. First frame out there doing the hot dog on a stick stuff. And it said while working up top was the banner. And then the second frame said on break. And it was those same kids in the back of that room all impaled on giant wooden sticks. And they wouldn't print it, and they were mad at me.
Jerry Larson wannabe. I would have totally printed that.
I know. I would have, too, but they didn't want
it. Cal tools going on. I mean,
first thing I thought of, too.
Yeah,
they didn't know.
Maybe it was a little graphic because I had them. I mean, it really did have big wooden sticks right up their hooters. It's just right up
their
butts.
Man, I love that because that is way more violent than a Gary Larson. That's what Gary Larson wants to be. That was impressive.
They had some stuff like that that got passed over for Gary Larson, too.
Like, his editor definitely turned shit down. You know he did.
Right.
But, I want that book of that collection of.
Yes.
Yeah, that's where the money is.
So. Was Hot Dog on a Stick the local place in the mall for corn dogs for you guys?
It was. For
Utah?
Me.
Okay. So we
didn't
get
them until recently.
Really?
We had Corn Dog 7.
Okay.
That's 7. All
these. Like the worst 7. Superhero team ever.
Yeah. Corn Dog 7 was in my 7. Mall too.
Right. That's the,
I hate that super team. The Corn Dog 7 is a terrible team. I love it. It's so good.
But they served just about everything was on a stick. It was cheese sticks. It was cheese on a stick, which was great.
Well, there's some really 7 of them.
Corn Dog 7 still exists. There are
they still exist?
Yes.
Oh, weird.
Well, they fleed our mall.
Oh yeah.
So let me ask you this though. Like Hot Dog on a Stick, Brian, it just showed up? Like you guys
Showed up in the last 10 years here in Colorado. Like so we didn't have one. Well, maybe the last 20 years, but we didn't have one when I was growing up.
See, when I was growing up, I mean, as long as I can remember, like even as a little kid, there was hot dog on a stick. It was the people in those outfits, or those dumb hats and the striped
those
shirts.
Bright color things. No, we saw it on TV before we saw it. There was a TV show where a character was it, or maybe it was Adventureland, or it was a movie. There was a character that worked on Hot Dog on a Stick. I keep feeling like it was a sitcom or something.
We thought,
look, there's no way a place like that would exist because of those weird colors.
Yeah.
And apparently it totally did.
Corn Dog 7, Randy just posted that in Discord. That Corn Dog 7 looks exactly. They must have like a kit that they sent out to make those Corn Dog 7
corn
places.
Corn Dog 7. Exactly why 7?
Like mine.
Yeah, why 7?
I don't know. But
I think there were exactly 7 things on the menu, I think was the deal.
Yeah, it was very limited. It was very
like the
limited.
Ingredients at Taco Bell. I get it.
Right. Yeah. Or In-N-Out
fries, funnel cake.
Because that's all In-N-Out has is for. Yeah.
Oh, never mind. I just went and read up on it. Nope. Nothing to do with the menu.
What is
it? Oh, really? Uh-oh.
Let's just move on. You know who what? The
marketing No. You can't do that.
You got to tell us what the 7
means. Why is it the 7? Why? We have to know.
It was chosen because of its biblical significance.
Oh my gosh, really?
Really?
Oh, wow. That is hilarious.
Boo. Boo. I was hoping
what a boring story.
Yeah, that's lame.
The market winner.
Back when Jesus was nailed to a pair of small sticks.
And so dipped in batter.
The market winner was Wiener Schnitzel of all this.
Oh, interesting.
Forgive them for dipping me in batter. They know not what they do. sorry, everyone who's offended by that, but that's pretty funny.
No, whatever. We just lost one listener.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I mean, this is kind of funny, you know.
No, but Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Did all your Wiener Schnitzels turn into hamburger stands?
We got them here in Orange County.
No,
we still have Wiener Schnitzels.
We do too. Yeah.
Wow, we don't have any Wiener Schnitzels. They seriously, because it's that smaller version of the IHOP A-frame building, right?
Yes.
Like it's a smaller A-frame.
Maybe they did it.
With a walk-up window in the front. Anyway, they all turned into hamburger stands, and now those hamburger stands are all gone, so there's nothing.
All I know is the ones that were the A-frame thing for us were International House of Pancakes before IHOPs took over. And the one that was still the A-frame shape was bought by a family and turned into a Mexican restaurant called La Morelia's, and nice. I love that place, but when you're in there... Everything smells a little like maple syrup in there.
So thank you, Scanners, for your 2 minute, not even 2 minute clip. This bloomed into a 15 minute discussion about
food courts.
Yeah.
Food court culture is a thing in Canada.
It really is.
It was in the States too, but like in Canada, you have to get in out of the cold, right? And like. Everywhere that I ever went in Canada, there were still malls that were, you know, they're still operating to this day. And the food courts are nice and huge. Mm. And you go there for poutine from New York Fries and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I miss it. Yeah, I like
hungry.
It.
Yeah.
It's cool. By the way, Der Wiener Schnitzel, which dropped the Der, used to be Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Yeah.
Merged with Tasty Freeze.
Oh,
yeah.
Never had those. Freeze.
And so now it's a combo place. And there's one in Colorado Springs.
They should
Corndog 7's hashtag is better than good. So whatever.
Why'd they get rid of the Der? Keep the Der.
Yeah.
The Der. Everybody cool. knows Der. Keep the Der.
Or do Wiener Schnitzel, comma, Der. Like Der. You know what I mean?
Der.
Yeah. Where do you want to eat? Wiener Schnitzel, Der.
Like that. Derp Wiener Schnitzel.
I'd be down. But yeah, we still have a bunch of those here, but Tasty Freeze, I've never even seen one. You know what that is.
Man, I'll tell you though, I'm gonna try to bring this back to Scanners.
That's where you suck on a chili dog, Scott, is outside the Tasty Freeze.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Sorry, Brian. I wanted to hook up
my Corn Dog 7 whenever at the very end they were doing that vein popping. That really I did not know that I have a literal aversion to vein popping. I don't know. I've got to look up to see if there's a disorder. But I've never really thought phobia, much about it.
Name phobia.
Yeah, but apparently there must be some kind of phobia because when those veins were about to burst, oh my god!
Yeah,
my
mind was freaking. Special effect.
Yeah, it's just simple special effect, right? You just get some skin and put the thing under it, and you got a tube that you blow air into, right?
Yeah,
right. Put the arm one in the chat. The arm one in the chat is pretty impressive.
You pump water into it, but. Man, that was just like when it first happened, I had not yet looked at Discord where one of you was showing that off.
Evil enough to put it in there. Right.
First happened. I was just like, oh my God. I was like Leo DiCaprio pointing at the screen. Oh my gosh. That was so well done.
Yeah. It's really the effects all over the place. If there's any complaint, it's like, there's not enough. Like the gross moment in this film is just the head blowing up because straight up. And normally that's not my gross thing. Like, usually it's, oh, so-and-so kissed somebody too long or...
After barfing. Right.
Or something gross like that. But this, that effect of that dude blowing up legitimately grossed me out and has for years without me even knowing what movie it was from or knowing but never seeing the movie. The vein thing is very cool. Like, they just... Cronenberg's known for this, and so is Dick Smith. I'm sorry, he's a Coxman. But he is really killing it. The effects are killing it in here. Like, usually you think of Stan Winston or whoever... This is like a Dick Smith joint.
It is. He blew it. And he also did Exorcist too, right? Is that
what was that correctly? His? I don't know.
I think that's some of his stuff too. So he was quite effective in these types of movies. The eyes popping, that was amazing. Freaked me out.
Yeah, it doesn't look like what would really happen because there's like a little bit of smoke that comes out with him too. But It's a great effect, and I'd forgotten about it. And that thing actually, of all of the body horror stuff, that's the thing that freaks me out the most. Really? Any eye stuff.
Eye popping.
Yeah, like people getting thumbs in the eyes in movies or TV shows or Game of Thrones just really freaks me out.
I think this movie sets the standard, like the gold standard for eye gore. I don't think you can do harder eye gore.
It's pretty good eye gore, Dick Smith, by the way, I'm looking at his IMDb. I'd forgotten how old he was. He died at 92 in 2014.
Oh, good job.
Nice long run, yep. And had 82 credits. That's
clean living.
The Exorcist, Altered State, Scanners, Amadeus, everything like that. Godfather 1 and 2. He did makeup for, like, he's all over the place. This might be one of the most accomplished technical people we've seen on FilmSack. Right. He's got a lot in this list.
Like I said, this movie only suffered, I think, from the hurry that was required to complete this movie to meet budget. I think that was its biggest problem.
Yeah.
Like I was just like writing down words, like to describe this movie in words that I do this every time. Like what did I like? And it's like tone, pacing. I like special effects, you know, which is there's a lot to like about the movie, and I'm glad that I didn't see it 20 or 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have seen it.
Yeah.
I guess I
could. Yeah, you could have been too. I'm weirdly glad.
I'm really glad I didn't see it 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Because it's like I now have an understanding of these things, right? And like I probably would have just watched it and been like, okay, you know?
Right.
And not really seen all the good parts and carried them.
Okay, I just found a movie we need to see. He did make his final film. The final work he did on makeup or any special effects was a movie called House on Haunted Hill. Came out in 1999.
Oh, yeah. He did that one?
This was Jeffrey Rush, Famke Janssen, Jean Grey, Peter Gallagher, Taye Diggs, Chris Kattan. Oh, my gosh. Allie Larder. Like, this is a crazy cast. Jeffrey Combs. Oh, shit.
That's a lock right there, Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, and for some reason, Lisa Loeb's in this. So that's
oh, really?
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Peter Graves. What a weird cast. Anyway, that's a thing we should get on our list. House.
Okay, what I want to.
I remember that being something I liked.
You saw it? You saw House on Haunted Hill? I never saw it.
Yeah, yeah. I remember it being something that I liked. I remember it being kind of a little bit of a cheese, but I still enjoyed it.
Well, we should put it on the list. I think that looks like fun.
Yeah.
We should totally do that.
It's a remake of, didn't we see the original, or is it, or am I thinking of a different movie?
I don't know. I've heard so many hills and houses.
Right,
and
Haunting of Hill House.
Is it the one where the lady says, shit, or whatever?
Yes, that's right, exactly.
what was that?
Okay, no, there was House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price, our second Vincent Price mentioned today.
Oh, that's right.
We didn't see that one. That one's from 1939 or 1959, but we did see the the one. What is the name of the
Hammer House? The one that was.
I thought it was still like Hill, like a haunting house.
Hill, like I said, there's so many of them: Haunting Hill, and then House and Street. Those are all just they try to bring it local.
Gotta find this because I love this one.
Good Hill Hunting? No, that's
Good Hill Hunting.
Where is it?
Still fight like shit.
No, where is it?
Shit. The worst thing is something like this.
There it is.
Shit.
Do that again, Brian. It was perfect.
Hold on. Shit.
Shit.
It's pretty good.
What? What was the name of that movie though? You don't have it.
Go to quicksack.li and look up Hill. Let's see what that.
Do we think Hill was the word? I think
haunting
house.
Hill?
House was definitely in the
okay. Name. House, and we just look at House. We watched House, right, didn't we? House. The plain name House.
It wasn't that though.
Did we watch that?
No, it was definitely not that.
Olympus, not Olympus Has Fallen. Here we go.
Man, Olympus Has Fallen. Yeah, that sounds just right on it.
Is that it? We watched The Legend of Hell House.
That's what I'm
The Legend of Hell House.
Hell House. Hell House. That was that Hammer thing that I was talking about.
That's it. Okay, well done.
Yeah.
Okay, so The Haunting of Hill House is not a remake, or the house on Haunted Hill is not a remake of The Legend of Hell House.
No. On Hell's mountain.
It is a set of words that's kind of a frequent go-to.
Yeah. Exactly. It's got house in it. It's got legends. It's
a haunting of some sort.
Some sort of hill.
Hill, whatever.
It's a haunted hill. Yeah, all that stuff. Well,
but good hill hunting, I'm reserving for myself.
Yeah,
good hill hunting. You're good. What was up with the turtlenecks? Was that a big thing for ladies back in the Jennifer O'Neill in the 81?
It just was cold on that set, like the scarves, the big thick scarves and coats.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me. This movie reminded me visually of oh my gosh, why am I blanking on it?
I don't know.
Body snatchers.
Oh, body snatchers. You're going.
Same wardrobe. Yeah.
Same kind of wardrobe. They all were wearing these, the London Fog trench coats.
Pretty sure those movies are within a year of each other. So sounds right.
Yeah.
Were they both filmed in Toronto? How cold is it in Toronto?
Right.
Whatever time of year this is.
Did they have an
all time of year? Yeah. Always cold. Maybe not snow. So then you fake it.
So you never really got a lot of evidence in this movie, but you could tell they were all wearing bell bottoms. Like everybody was wearing.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta do absolutely.
My least favorite suit style is that era. It's the Johnny Carson flat butt, straight down leg thing.
Big, wide lapels.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
Not my favorite. When he's when that guy's at the computer place and he's like trying to make sure nothing goes bad.
Computer place.
And he's wearing
computer land,
and he's wearing that stupid suit. Those suits.
And we
were
5 minutes after the idea. I guess we were pretty early on, still understanding phone phreaking and that kind of stuff. And you show up at a payphone and you just squeal a couple of times into the phone and.
Yeah,
I guess hack into the system.
What the dominant, tech of the time? People going, ooh, what if you could do that? Like it's we never change. People don't change. We always think this is true. We think it's true of the internet now. We think it'll be true of whatever's next. And we all think there's chips in the freaking vaccines we're getting.
I didn't understand. I'm like, they were freaking out in that computer room with all the tapes and stuff, and they were like going, they were trying to figure out, oh no, how do we get them out of the system? What do we do? And I'm like, just unplug it. Pull a tape. Come on, man. Power. I mean, just real tape over there.
I can't believe that the response to, this is connected to the telephone system wasn't, okay, so we're going to unplug that one.
It's all very isolated. It's very analog. There's a lot of just physical things you could do to stop this situation.
Yeah, it's electrical impulses over copper wire. That's it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's literally it. You don't have any kind of, fiber optics. You don't have anything.
Right.
You just have reel-to-reel freaking computer tape. Good Lord.
I'm watching those things spin in the background, though.
I did like a computer tech cool bro who was wearing those dark sunglasses. Like him. Yes. And he was like, there's not going to be any explosions.
Yeah, but not only that, he somehow stuck to his chair. He stuck to his stool. Did you guys notice that? Yes. I wish I'd have captured it.
I'm assuming that's how they pulled him out of the room.
Well, I assume he punched his butt so hard he freaking pinched it and took it with him.
Pulled some of the chair in there with it.
Yeah, I would have. I would have clamped down hard.
Tina was pointing out that makeup must have had a field day with that guy who was doing most of the talking in the computer room.
Oh yeah.
Because there was a weird growth on his face. This is the thing Tina picks out that looks like it was covered up with some sort of lighter foundation, not quite the same.
Yep.
He had the large face mole like we talked about John Boy having, but they covered it up completely.
They tried miserably.
They caked it on.
Yeah, it was bad. It looked bad.
It was bad. Yeah. Just let him have his mole, man. Come on.
He's our mole man. Yeah. Let us have a mole.
But you know who looked cool in this movie? Like, there's just one little tiny character that I couldn't look away from. And it was this old man that they have hooked up to some wires to try to.
The yogi.
Right.
He's a trope. Yeah. The trope is called Master of Your Domain.
Right. Love it.
Involves and, George Costanza somehow or no?
Yep. Okay. That's the same thing. Master of your
domain. I'm out of the contest.
This guy,
I'm out.
This guy can control his heart rate. He can control other bodily functions, including one that I think we all are talking about. He just looks cool. There's something about him. He just looks like, I don't know, he looks like a yogi that you might find sitting next to a train station,
Good casting with that guy. He was, I agree with you. If you want, when I think yogi, that was it. I was like, there you go. Yeah, there he is.
He's in the credits as yoga technician.
Oh, nice.
And he probably was. He's probably a real life yogi too.
Might have been, but boy, he sure took him up to the heart attack line there. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, don't worry, you can't hurt him. Go ahead, just increase his heart rate. What could possibly go wrong? How about we start with something else?
Yeah,
anything. Yeah. Besides, like maybe like an eye twitch or something.
Right.
Something.
Yeah. even if you didn't cause like a cardiac arrest in the moment, you probably took 2 years off that dude's life. So right. Knock it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, not cool. Also, what's not cool is that girl, the main, what's her name? Kim?
Or Jennifer O'Neill.
Yes, there. Kim, Jennifer O'Neill.
Costa?
She's right. Number one credited in the film. She shows up 36 minutes into the damn thing. That just seems weird.
I wondered if she wasn't going to play a bigger part because
it was a tiny part. She barely had anything to do, I thought.
Yeah. What was the script trying for with her other than just like casual observer of what's going on?
I don't know. That bummed me out because I like her.
But, you know, that's usually reserved for somebody who's maybe the biggest name at this point. You know, that's your star. I mean, she shows up. So, I mean, this wasn't like by appearance.
She was her big name.
By star power.
Yeah.
At the time.
Right. She is from Brazil. Still with us. Still kicking it. She was born in 48. Been around for a bit. Right. Lovely.
Well, I thought
woman.
She was like, I really do think she was one of the best acted parts in this film. I believed it when she was doing her little mind thing because she wasn't like, she didn't like she was taking a poop. Everybody else was like,
Jennifer really O'Neill, trying to. She can hold her brain. She can hold her brain attack better than most. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was impressive. All right. Well, let's do it.
What did y'all think about the turn? Like while I was watching, I'm like, I totally forgot about the turn. It's like, the turn. I'm your brother.
The reveal of
they're both
baby Ruths.
They're both baby Ruths.
They're baby Ruths. That's great.
Oh,
that's brilliant.
Shit.
Missed it.
But I wrote that down. You said it first.
Did you?
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I didn't even think of that until you just said it. That's amazing.
Yeah, I liked. I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah,
turn.
You know,
was it okay?
I wrote that. I mean, if it. It led me to then write Ruth Baby Ginsburg.
Everybody's related.
I mean, it fits with the plot. It's a good plot reveal, right? That the scanners were kind of came from a genetic experiment or medicine gone wrong that started with the guy that we kind of saw as the mentor through the first part.
Yeah,
I liked it.
It would have helped if they looked more alike. Like I kind of like cheated in my mind. I said to myself once I found out, I'm like, oh yeah, they look alike. They totally look alike. But they don't. Not really.
Not alike. They should have had Henry Winkler in there as Steven or somebody. Or no,
he was the middle, the kind of the go between the two of them.
Or Martin Mull, like that guy was.
I can see that.
He was probably 25 years old at the time. Like he would have been perfect.
Yeah, Martin Mull, just hire that guy to fill in for your Dr. Ruth. That's what I always say.
Right. There you go.
Let's take a trip down Clip Town here.
Yeah. Clip Town, USA.
Yeah, we got some clips from this film, and there are some good ones in here. So these are all the voices in his head as he's laying in that bed writhing, and all those people walked in, and it's mostly just repeating. It's kind of a cheat, but here it is. That would drive me crazy after a while. They really lingered on that. It was like, okay,
they really did.
Guys, 10 minutes in, really? You're going to keep doing this? That was bad. Know your symptoms.
I must remind you that the scanning experience is usually a painful one, sometimes resulting in nosebleeds, earaches, stomach cramps, nausea, sometimes other symptoms of a similar nature.
Now, the best part of that is A, he's the best actor in the movie, and B, he said this at the beginning of that. I like that.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna play that all day. All right. This is Ibit. I know this is gonna shock you, but I got some audio.
What?
Yeah, you were. I didn't know this. You were crowned king of the prom. That you never revealed that part.
It hasn't come up before. I never thought it was important.
Yeah. But, so they asked you on mic. They said, "All right, well, king of the prom, what are you gonna do? And what do you want to do?" And you got up on the microphone. Everything got real quiet. And you said,
"I would like to scan all of you in this room one at a time."
Good Lord. You probably freaked everybody out.
Yeah. Well, starting with my date. I mean, you know, I'm a gentleman.
Yeah. You'll start with your date and then move from there. Sure.
That's right.
No one leave.
No one is to leave this room once the demonstration has begun.
Yeah, because you all want to see my head explode.
That makes sense. Right. It's going to be awesome. Yeah. Sit down.
Yeah.
Who's first for the explosive diarrhea?
Shoot, don't tempt me to find the clip. All right, here's I don't know what this is.
I feel so exposed. I can hear myself.
Oh, yeah, some of the great acting from Cameron.
That's because you're in an echoey room. You should really go somewhere else.
I can hear myself a millisecond after I say something.
Right. Something. Oh, that would suck, wouldn't it? If your whole life was like that weird delay. Oh, yeah. That'd suck. I'd go crazy and kill people at the mall, too, if that happened. Here's I hate how he says this.
Welcome to our little psychic gymnasium.
Gymnasium.
I'm an old man.
Read it.
All right. Slowly release your scan.
I want you to slowly release your scan. Slowly.
Slowly, then. You want slowly?
Slowly. Redundant. Okay.
Are we not going to get him saying, I want you, and then taking the longest pause of all time?
Maybe not. I don't remember. I might have.
Because okay, in there, he does that. He's like walking over to a chair. He goes, I want you. And then he just waits forever.
Dramatic pause.
And it's like, I think he just wants you.
I think he just couldn't remember his line. And then he finally remembered it. Here's what I titled a odd conversation.
The man has incredible power, doesn't he?
Power? Oh, yes, he does.
I'm Arno Krostick. I'm pleased you came to my gallery.
Yeesh.
Power? What is power?
Was he listen kind of a to my Blade Runner soundtrack in the background.
Kind of a chick in the bucket.
You want more of that gallery, though?
Yeah, I wanted more of him, but he just... That's what I mean. He was kind of chicken the bucket. We never really got anything out of that weird interaction. I mean, listen to that.
I'm pleased you came to my gallery.
That should signal that we're about to get a whole bunch of weird old guy stuff, but we didn't get it.
Right. No.
His only purpose was to decline giving out the guy's address, which I'm like, you could have done that in a broken phone book or something. Like, we don't need that. I want more of this guy's gallery. It was amazing.
I agree.
Grab a bucket.
He's our chicken the bucket. All right, moving on.
That poor old guy who was stripped down to his
just left
the room.
Read a magazine. I don't know.
Oh yeah,
I'm cold.
Bring me a blanket. All right, here's some old cutting room floor air footage from MASH. Oddly enough, it showed up in this film. Check it out.
Benjamin Pierce.
Why don't you leave me alone?
Oh, weird. MASH. Weird. Okay. Benjamin Franklin Pierce. Yeah,
that's right.
Crazy. All right. What? I don't know what this is.
Is that right? Me?
Is that right?
Yeah, the artist guy. He was bad, dude.
He was really bad. Yeah.
Oh, when he's that right? Me?
I love that. That was so terrible.
Well, here's his laugh. I captured
it. Oh, you did? Okay, good.
That might be the worst laugh we've ever had on the show.
Yeah, that was their best
fake
take.
Laugh. Yeah.
He's trying out for the Joker, I think.
Well, he failed. Did a bad job. I don't know who. Is this him? This might be him again.
You know what I think? I think you better tell me what you really want.
Wow.
I think you better tell me what you really want, okay?
You didn't finish it with the Spice Girls. Come on, Scott.
Oh, what I really, really... I should have done that.
I'm going to send you notes.
So tell me what you want, what you really, really want.
You're right. Missed opportunity. Okay, here's some of that discordant music from the 70s. It's Howard Shore just banging on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's horrible.
The weird gargle in the head thing. That was weird.
Oh yeah,
it was weird choice. Amazing head whack and over the stairs sound when this guy got hit when they were having their little seance party. Here it is. No. Ah! There you go. That's pretty good. That's a good one, right? No.
Ah! It's like the car horn guy. That's really good.
All right, this is. Well, I'll let it speak for itself. All right, here you go.
Okay. Goodbye, Dr. Ruth.
Hello?
Oh, it's Dr. Ruth.
Hello?
She was confused.
Wait, Dr. Ruth.
That had to be edited. What? I don't remember her.
Yeah, weird, right? Showed up when you least expected her. All right, here's Ironside. Not plural. Where is he?
No, he's lying.
All right, we got him finally. No, he's lying. Yep. Put that needle. Oh, pull that. Whatever.
Ah.
Oh, when he pulls the dart out of her back.
Yeah. You got her O face for a second there.
Ah.
Yeah. He carried around that needle in his hand for far too long in the shopping mall, in the food court.
Yep. Long time.
I would have ripped that thing out immediately.
Yeah. Right. That was weird to keep it that long. Here, in fact, no one ever does that. If you get hit with a tranquilizer dart, pull it out now.
Pull it out. Right. Oh, I feel it in my neck. I'm getting rid of it immediately.
Instead, they always go, and then
also, it would come out really, really easily, right?
Because
it's just a big needle.
Yeah.
Like people always like tug at it. Like it's, it's really like it's got a barb or something.
Right.
And they always represent it like it's just barely hanging on anyway. I mean, a real dart would probably be deep in your flesh.
Yeah.
Would hurt if you moved.
My least favorite thing of a movie when they pull a thing out is an arrow, because they usually have to break it, one half out, and then pull the other one through. And you know that's leaving little wood chips in there in your guts.
I'm checking out different parts of my body. There's a lot of parts where it would just bounce off. Like it would just bounce off most of this.
Yeah.
It would not go.
He's checking out different parts of his body.
Yeah. Well, especially her big cardigan thing she was wearing. There's no way it penetrated that.
Yeah.
Here's a very bad actor.
Keller murdered Dr. Ruth. He deserved to die.
He deserved to die.
Still my fries, you deserve to die.
You deserve to die. Here he is again.
Me. You. Me.
You. Me.
Ow. I may have repeated the me on that. But
love Ironside's voice.
Isn't he great?
Me.
Oh, he's so good. All right. Me. You murdered the future.
The future? You murdered the future.
That's great.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that in the future. That clip, I mean. All right, here's Ironside's yelling. He's super pissed.
Like Rack! Daryl Rack!
Okay.
All right. You just called him Ironsides, by the way.
Did I? Damn it!
Yeah, yeah. Play, court reporter, please read back what you just...
I believe... I do it. I know I do it, but I try not to.
I know. It's hard not to. It's really Michael Ironsides, because that was the TV show in the 70s, right. Ironsides.
Hey. Ironsides.
Also, there was a ship, right?
Yeah.
Called Old Ironsides. The nickname for the... Yeah.
So it's his fault for...
Was it? Constitution?
Okay.
Might be.
I have no idea.
I'm not certain about that.
Here's a... What? Something about reincarnation. All right, there you go.
It's as though he's been reincarnated in you.
Reincarnated.
Dude.
I'm going to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Can we now agree? I don't know if we didn't agree earlier, but this guy's a bad actor. He's bad.
Yeah.
That's shit. That's shit.
There's a lot of bad acting, but I let it slide. It didn't bother me watching it. It's bothering me now that you're calling it out, but it didn't bother me at the time.
I know. I mean, that's to the film's credit, I guess, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to. Oh, here's the best final thing ever.
I'm going to suck your brain dry.
I'm going to suck your brain dry. All right. Well done. Now this. Presenting the Film Sack Checklist. Spend 10 minutes of your movie having people walk into a room and sit in a chair. Check. You'll never get that bald dude out of the carpet. Check. And finally, I think there was a lady in this. Check. All right. Moving on. She said such a small part.
Yeah. Can't really have the Bechdel test when now there's only one woman and she only talks to men.
We talked a lot about the soundtrack already, but I'd give it an SC for 70s creepy and did a pretty good job of being that kind of thing, but I'm not so sure that kind of thing holds up. So. Your mileage may vary.
There wasn't a Howard Shore score.
No.
like you're not going to go find, a limited edition disc of the Howard Shore score of this movie.
Yeah.
It just doesn't, like, there's not enough music.
You're not going to close your eyes and picture the Uruk-hai fighting, Aragorn and his friends on a hill somewhere. It's not going to happen.
I will bet you I've got them somewhere. The final Howard Shore extended editions of all of those movies of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
I'll bet it's 12 hours long.
Oh, it's great. It's so good. It's an amazing score. And also, I don't know if you guys have seen it. Just look it up after the show. And anyone listening can do the same. But somebody put together a dub, like a redub of the Uruk-hai, big orc dudes, when they were stealing Merry and Pippin.
And just talking like regular people.
Talking like regular people. It is so freaking funny, dude.
Really?
It's like, so you got one of them's like, what is it? Man flesh. Like, it's just like this matter of fact, like dudes talking. It's fantastic. It's the funniest damn thing you'll ever see. I love it. Anyway, moving on. Hey, it's this Twitter post. This is where I don't really have to explain, but I'm going to. You guys sum it up in 280 characters or less. Now, the big difference this week is who I'm starting with. I'm going to do things a little different. We're starting with Randy.
Yes. Crazy body horror, men grunting at each other, exactly one woman and maybe a dozen men. Ibbot's house.
It's like a Lady Gaga lyric right there.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I thought.
Sharona. Poker face. Right. Moving on to Brian Dunaway.
Brandy. Scanners. For an eye-popping good time, call Cronenberg. Hashtag head blown. Corn dogs. You read my mind.
Well, you made me cough. That made me laugh. Nice job. Finally, Brian Ibbot.
Scanners. Once you pop, you can't stop.
Nah. Oh, man.
That's even better.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Nicely done. Well, all right. All roads lead to this. It's alternate title time. For a while there, the movie was going to be called The Manner in Which Your Planner Uses a Spanner to Power His Scanner, but they didn't go with it. It's too long. Too long. It would be a while before we got to What's-His-Name movie. I can't think of the name of it.
And that would never fit on a marquee. Either,
no, but never.
Yeah, no.
The final, the other alternate title was Only Pop It If There's a Head, but they didn't think that was a good one.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad, but they went with Scanners. Yes.
Before we get too far away from it, I looked up my Lord of the Rings complete recordings. That's what it's called, the complete recordings by Howard Shore.
Yeah.
13 hours.
Oh, my Lord.
Wow.
Longer than the audiobook of all three books.
It's longer than the films. I don't understand.
Barely.
just barely. Just by a hair longer than the films. I'm looking it up to see if it's on. It is. It's streaming also. Spotify and Apple Music both have it, the entirety of it. So if you want to go, just crank that and have it on forever. There you have it. Probably YouTube as well. All right. Moving on to emails. These are emails that we got from listeners. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address to send them to. We got one from Anthony who says, if not already on the list, you must consider watching Bruce Willis's two latest films, Anti-Life and Cosmic Sin. What has happened to Bruce? LOL. Yeah. From Anthony.
Oh my God. I know. Yeah. I think I've talked about this recently on either TMS or here on FilmSec, but yeah, I keep getting these things popping up on recommendations on either Netflix or Hulu for these Bruce Willis films. And it's like, wow, is he just taking, he will just take anything right now.
Mm-hmm. It's got a little Nicolas Cage smell to it. Like what's going on over there?
Yeah.
So Cosmic Sin just came out and this is the one that I'm most interested in by a lot. Mm. And the reason is because it stars Frank Grillo. Yes. Frank Grillo.
I like Frank Grillo. He's cool.
Stars Frank Grillo.
Yeah. Well, sure. He deserves it. Like, his turn in the MCU is amazing. Yeah,
those Crossbones.
Yeah, he's also very good in the only good one of those Purge movies. I think it was Purge Anarchy. No, was that the TV show? Crap, hold on. It may have been Purge 2.
Third one?
But Frank Grillo's in one of the Purges, and it's the best Purge. It's very good. Because it's Frank Grillo. He's great. I'd watch the hell out of this. I'm looking at the cover of that thing. That looks like Kill, Rinse, Repeat or whatever it was with Tom Cruise and Mutter.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow. Yeah.
Look at that robot Bruce Kill, Willis. Kill,
Rinse, Repeat.
Yeah. Whatever it was. But look at him. He looks this looks terrible. We have to see Cosmic Sin.
Yeah.
I'm really interested.
2.5 out of 10.
Oh, jeez.
It's by a writer-director named Edward Drake, who is, a rising star. He's not getting, great opportunities just yet because you have to kind of make movies like this. But he comes from like the HBO studio background, and I think it's worth a look.
He also wrote Breach, another Bruce Willis weird thing. Hold on, director. Gasoline Alley, don't know what that is. American Siege, Apex, is that the game? That'd be interesting. Cosmic Sin, Broil. And I don't know. I don't know about this guy. I don't know.
I think he's got a career ahead of him. I will watch Cosmic Sin whether or not we do it on.
Let's do it on FilmSack. We should totally do it.
Let's talk. Yeah, let's talk about.
We should totally do it. 2.5 just makes me think. That's fine. I don't care. Anthony, thanks for the recommendation. We got one more here from Spleenless D. So yeah. I hope you're not actually minus your spleen. I think you need that.
Yeah, I hope you find it.
Don't you need a spleen? You need a spleen, right?
No.
I think spleen is one of those optional pieces in operation.
Are you guys mansplaining? Get it?
Mansplaining.
Mansplaining. Get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Well, anyway, he says 11-11 is the movie we should consider. I somewhat recommend this film for FilmSack. That's a really pretty endorsement.
Right.
This is a 2020 film on Amazon Prime. It's almost like every scene in the beginning of a bad porno, except there is never any porn. Hopeful for your consideration. Never heard of 11-11.
Say it again?
11-11. Yeah, two 11s.
Like a time, like it's a...
Oh, there's two of these. One in 2018, one in 2019. I don't know which one it is. Let's see.
It's the 2018.
Okay, the 2018, not the 2019. Okay.
2018.
But not to be confused with 11-11-11, which came out in 2011.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it really was released on November 11th, 2011. Lord,
really? Oh, Lord.
Yep, was it released at the 11th minute of the 11th hour?
Better have been.
That was the release of Skyrim, I remember. It was 11-11-11. That year. Anyway, okay, sure. What? Well, let's see. What's the review on this? 3.8 on IMDb. Not great.
What does the email say about the movie?
It just says that we should watch it. Oh, he says that he says it's like a porno. It has all the tropes of porn without porn. Which I there's something intriguing about what he means. I don't know what he means by
right,
that.
Right. Yeah, I mean all the bad acting and setup. With none of the excuse,
quote unquote payoff. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Well,
would you tolerate porn story without the nudity?
No.
Jeez, I think no. We have. Nothing's coming to mind, but I think we have seen movies before.
Zardoz?
Yes, sure. There you go. But that's
that was actual porn, though. I mean,
that's true. Actually, yeah. Good point.
Yeah. What is a good example?
It's just a bunch of vignettes of people delivering pizzas and fixing plumbing.
That's true.
How about The Room? Was The Room like porn without the...
Kind
of. No, because there was porn in The Room.
There was sex in The Room?
There was porn in The Room. That sounds funny the way you said that.
It wasn't sex that I wanted to see.
Did I send you...
I think that training film I sent you guys the other day in the Discord is as close to porn as you'll get without actually...
This reminded me of like 6 months ago when we were in the middle of recording an episode of FilmSack and you sent us a Rammstein video that was just hardcore.
Nothing but porn.
That right. thing.
That was excellent.
I still haven't kind of recovered from that. That's good. What was I going to tell you about the oh, I gave you guys that weird Simpsons overlay thing of that scene.
Yes, of the room with Lisa and Milhouse.
Yeah, how weird is that? It's so weird. That haunts me to this minute. Anyway, thanks for the emails, guys, and love the recommendations. Keep those coming. We don't always use them, but we sometimes do. And I'll bet you money we end up watching Cosmic Sin. That seems like
looking at our forward list and our list of like the next six films we know we're going to watch. Five of them were recommended to us.
Yeah. Well, next week is one that we've had on the burner forever because it just hasn't been available. But finally, the original Arnold Schwarzenegger classic, Predator, Predator 1, available on Hulu. And we're going to watch it this week for Film Sack. So next week is Predator, everybody. Oh, my gosh. It feels...
We're all going to get to the chopper.
That's right. I get to see Carl Weathers with his arm blown off at the bicep. I get to see...
You get to see the bro fist grab arm wrestle move, this all the gifts.
Yep. Ah. Yep. I get to see
you get to find out if we have time to bleed.
There's so much stuff in there. I love Predator 1. Very excited that we get to see it finally. And that'll be next week. It's on Hulu, so you'll know where to see it, everybody. Go catch it and do your homework. All right, that's going to do it for us. FilmSack.com is our website. You can find everything you need there, including archives of all our shows. That aren't on the main and most current feed. So go check that out. FilmSack@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, you can follow us on Twitter. We'll let you know when new stuff happens. All sorts of cool stuff over there at FilmSack. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Well, I'll suck you dry.
We'll see you next time. Gross.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
The future. You murdered the future.
Uh-huh.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.